have been left without parents and grandparents and community members and someone to feed back into their family.
This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Christopher Lee Brothers Plumbing and Heating of Albany, wishing everyone a joyous holiday season and happy new year. Red Carpet Service and Solutions since 1939. Information at CRISBRO.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mary Shea in Burr Ridge, Illinois. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
You're listening to Zach Poff's Pond Station, available at wavefarm.org/listen. If you click on the listen button on any WGXC.org page, you can hear the sounds from the bottom of one of the Wave Farm ponds. Thanks to the hydrophones Zach Poff has put there.
Welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program, broadcasting live from the Catskill Maker Syndicate's Genesis Device Assembly Chamber. How's everybody doing tonight?
Ready to transform some planets.
That's right. It is a new year. We're going to change everything.
I'm enjoying the longer days.
How you doing?
Doing well yourself?
Not bad. Tom, how are you?
As the days get longer, it's a shame it's getting colder.
That's just the way it works. It's not darkest. Well, it's not coldest before the dawn. It's coldest after dawn. Cody, how are you?
Pretty good.
All right.
Doing all right. Like I said, we're ready to change some planets.
Oh, yeah. This would be the dawn of the new year. And, yeah, that's usually the way it goes. We've had the darkest night, which means the next 2 weeks are going to be the coldest for the whole year on average. Just like, we bottom out just after the dark. Sun does it. It takes it some time to catch up every day and every season.
The earth is tilted and we have to pay for it.
And that's why Brazil's more likely to catch the tail end of those solar flares that we've been having recently than we are. Because they're tilted towards this. Oh, I forgot about Brian, our sound guy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? Uh-huh. I'm actually doing really good.
He's just part of the equipment now. He's one with
I am. I've been borked out over here.
Yeah. He's being assimilated into the equipment, and we are all the better for it.
Brian is Borg.
And he gave me a sound effect button, which you all are going to pay for. But yeah.
But no, not with Wilhelm screams.
No, not yet.
Disappointing.
Next time. Next time I'll load up a whole bunch of horrible things I shouldn't have in there. Like this.
Brian's on the bridge. Brian on the bridge has a mixer. He's moving sliders back and forth.
I would say he's at the con.
Back and forth.
Oh, so what is new for the year? Are we having a good year?
Goodyear tires?
No. Are we invoking a good year? Are we going to have more?
No. Listen. This is the master of doom and gloom right here telling you right now, no joke, 2024, it's going to be a good year.
Ah.
It's going to be a good year.
Is that like the curse, may you live in interesting times?
No.
We have been.
Have you seen that totally change? Like,
yeah, more
now,
than that.
Yeah, everybody's like, may you live in boring times and things be uninteresting. We've had enough. We figured it out.
Right.
For real, dude. That was the 2000s. That was the golden period where, like, we got off the cocaine high of the 80s, and we're all like, life is great. Everything's good. Look at that stock market. It's never going down. Things have never been better. And then we slipped. But we are ever upward, ever forward. The economy is always growing. Things are still on track for prosperity. As long as we don't sabotage ourselves.
The economy is always growing.
Yeah.
How's that possible? Isn't that the central tenet of capitalism that
it's inflation.
Is never true?
No, well, it's growing because there's always more people. Our population is increasing, not because we're reproducing, but because we're importing people. But, more people equals more jobs, more working, more GDP. It's a factor. Mm. It's not a factor. People put a lot more into that number than they probably should, but...
What's that, GDP?
Yeah.
It's Wile E. Coyote economics, you know. Your debt can never catch up with your loans.
Just keep borrowing more. Pay off that credit card with new one.
$33 trillion. You are the bank.
Yeah, right.
That's our debt, right?
China will never want to collect on its bonds.
Yeah, but they only own a very small amount of our national debt. Most of it's actually the Social Security system.
We're talking unfunded liabilities. I see.
It's not going to bite anybody in the butt. Social Security owns probably over half.
You can survive your liabilities if you have an ability to lie.
What? Yeah. Clever.
Just like
we're not encouraging anybody to do any sort of fraud.
No, it's just playing with words and metaphors.
Anybody got any technology that's new for the new year?
Yes. 0001110011000.
Binary?
To the non-binars out there, could you please translate?
No, I'm just enthusiastic, and I can only have two numbers.
Okay, so you're entirely positive that there's only two things you need to talk about, one or a zero.
It's the only way I'm able to talk, but it can cover all things, although, admittedly...
With some loss of precision?
Yes, it's going to be quantized by the very nature of counting in... discrete number forms. I like to say an analog is worth 1,000 calculations, but we'll just have to try to roll it off so nobody notices.
I didn't know this was going to be
roll
a
that analog.
Comedy hour.
I'm trying to bring up an article on nano drones.
Nano drone? You mean those little less than hand size, what do they call them? There's a name.
Okay.
A specific product.
If anybody watched the new Dune and they saw the assassin drone that tried to take out the leader, we basically have those, but they look like little helicopters.
Yep.
That's a nano drone that can be flown right into your hand and be put away safely in the case. What I'm talking about is nano drones that get injected into your bloodstream and track cancer.
Oh.
That's cool.
Actual nanoscale drones.
Yeah, actual nano.
Now, are they... physically mechanical, or are they?
I believe it's chemically, not biological, but chemically assembled. Trying to read up on it.
It's probably an interesting combination of all kinds of disciplines to create a what do they call it? MEMS. yeah. mechano-electrical system or something like that?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's where, like, you can make things move, but without necessarily having, like, a little motor or something in it. You
right.
Can
do or it the motor is chemically actuated, which is kind of crazy, but the patents are out there, man. You can read them.
Yeah. Texas Instruments has done a great service by having a binary MEMS projector in which...
A micro-electromechanical system.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Every pixel can flip mechanically so the light source can be whatever you put onto it. It can be red, green, blue. It could be ultraviolet. It can be any, you know, coarse source of electromagnetic radiation that you project from this little chip. And Texas Instruments mastered that so well that you can pretty much rely on their services for that particular way of projecting images or patterns, things like that.
Tell us about nano drones, though.
They're small mechanical cages. They're just like small, molecularly constructed cages that trap cancer cells, and they're just basically
they just trap cancer.
Apparently, AALS protein cage nanoparticles that simultaneously display cancer-targeting ligands and NK cell recruiting ligands on the surface of the ALS through the spy catcher spy tag protein ligation system. Yeah. So apparently those big words mean little tiny robots are made out of molecules and they kill cancer.
But these particular ones are not inorganic. They are decidedly organic.
But that's only because...
They need to be.
Yeah. And
their purpose is to catch the cancer cell.
And they're still artificially constructed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with carbon inside my body as long as it's targeting the right cells and it doesn't decide to, find something new to go after.
Yeah. If it's,
you have seen how software bugs occur, right? When they do something that are unexplained. And
hardware bugs.
And hardware bugs.
We don't worry about unintentional consequences.
Oh, it's going to eat this cancer. No, it's going to eat my brain. It misfired. And now they're all misfiring together.
What?
Are you kidding me? Just wait. Okay. Ozempic. That's
no.
all I'm going to say.
No.
It's going to turn us into zombies.
Why do you think Ozempic is going to turn us into zombies?
All right, well, you know what Ozempic does, right?
It's a anti-diabetic drug.
Yeah, but do you know why everybody's taking it?
It makes you lose weight. Not exactly sure why, but it reduces the craving, yes?
Correct. And you know what happens when you come off of it?
No.
They come back?
You end up with, some people have described as insatiable cravings.
Oh, my gosh.
And you end up gaining more weight than you started with because you're just famished.
How shocking. A drug that behaves like every other drug that's been made before it.
But in the... So yeah, you're gonna lose weight, and as long as you got that sweet constant supply of Ozempic from that doctor, you're gonna keep in boat payments. You're fine, but the second you stop taking it, you're gonna balloon up, and you're gonna want to think about eating your dog. I don't know. Like the next step is cannibalism. People are all like, I gotta eat.
Wow.
Isn't that how Resident Evil originally starts out? Like, there's a lot of zombie movies that are like, well, this diet drug wound up making people instead really, really hungry.
Brain.
I need my sound effect board now. Totally.
Yeah, and as soon as they start eating brains, then they'll become prion zombies.
Yeah, and that's fine. we'll just call it mad human.
Kind of already have it, right?
Instead of mad cow, we got, well, yeah.
We got variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Oh, God, yes.
CJ. Yeah, that is human mad cow.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to eat nerve tissue. You want to just stick to those chunky calf muscles.
I have the most sexist joke that goes back about those.
Why not? Wait, what?
That I can't tell.
Is that an option? Not eating people is an option? I didn't know that. It's 2024. What? Remember, it's 2024, folks, not 2020.
What are you saying? Is sexism back? What's back? What's the year change?
Cannibalism.
Oh, cannibalism.
Oh, we're just going to dive right into cannibalism. That's where we're going to end up. Right? I mean, if we can't afford eggs, then we got to eat our children.
I guess it's too hard to eat wildlife. There's the gigantic population of deer that is overrunning New York State. I guess that's just too hard to eat them.
Well, you see, when I have a rifle in my hand, they're hard to shoot because they come right up. No, they do come right up to you.
Oh, they really do.
Like a puppy dog.
They aren't even afraid.
No.
Okay.
There's
now,
too many.
Now,
in the village, they just don't care. They really come up. They like look at you and they're like, eh. And they just like kind of saunter off.
They learn to use the crosswalk. They know they're immune.
Well, that's very polite of them because if you hit them with the car, it just doesn't work.
Oh, wow. In San Francisco, or not San Francisco, but in California, the SF Times was talking about wild horses. Their numbers are so high that they're starting to get just run over by cars.
Oh, in which area?
Hit horses. That's over even there. Like we hit
that's
deer.
Even worse than hitting a deer. Yeah. Horses are big.
They're, but where is this that they're getting?
It was San Fran. Gate that I read it, so it's like out west.
So that's all the more reason to have a land yacht.
Yeah,
you have to tank a horse.
Yeah. Get a horse. You may be driving a 76 Cadillac.
Yeah.
Dinner served.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's already been grilled.
Not a match.
No.
Not a match.
And tenderized.
Grilled and tenderized.
Oh, man.
No, it's all about the presentation. You're serving in a hub.
Speaking of deer and CJD and prions, get your venison checked.
Why?
Get your deer checked for chronic wasting. There's a huge bloom of chronic wasting in the United States right
now.
How do we do that?
How do you do that? I believe you send it to your local
deer processor.
DEC?
No, not the deer processor. Probably the lab. DEC. And if your local environmental conservation department doesn't know, or if they don't have the facility, they can probably tell you where to send it off to.
All right. That's just so the listeners have somewhere to go.
Chronic wasting is a form of, is a prion?
It's a prion disease.
We got a lot of exactly. out there.
It's basically mad deer disease.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Great. Wait. But the reason why this spreads in populations, the spread goes upwards is because you'll eat the guts of the brain, right? Sure. It's brain eating. Are they eating like?
So there's deer, papers. There's papers out there that are studying the transmission of prion, and they're finding that when a tick takes a blood meal from one deer, and then takes a blood meal from another deer, they can transmit the prions between them.
So ticks can transfer them now between deer. What about tick and human? Interspecies transfer, what do they call that?
If I don't know of any studies about interspecies transfer between deer and
humans.
But just to touch on what a prion actually is,
it's a protein.
It's an unfolded protein that causes other proteins it comes in contact with to unfold like it, right?
It uses your own DNA.
It's just a molecule that deforms other molecules.
It uses your own body to replicate your own.
So when a prion is a protein that has misfolded. And the way proteins come out of a ribosome is they come out as chained amino acids that link up and fold in a certain conformation. And when that conformation changes into a prion formation, it can contact other proteins like it once was and then transform them into another prion, a transmissible diseased prion. So you always have prions. It's just that they're not misfolded when you're healthy. And when you're not healthy, they are misfolded.
And they multiply themselves.
Right.
Because they just start unzipping. It's like a room full of mouse traps with golf balls on them. You drop one, hits it, hits another.
And everything.
The conformation of the protein changes and can change other similar proteins.
Fun. So what, similar. It doesn't
what is
have
the
to be
cure
the same
for
one.
A prion?
So
disease.
That's why when it comes from a deer.
So did you ask about a cure?
What is there any cure for mad cow, CKD?
No.
Or
you stop the spread.
There's no cure.
So death squads is what you're saying.
You flatten them.
In cases of like Parkinson's, which
is it's a
amyloid related disease. So when you have a prion disease, a deposit, you get these things called amyloid deposits.
Yeah, like
where your body's trying to segregate and contain the spread of the prions.
Yeah,
which, you know, it's a slow process.
And that's the brain damage you get from it.
So some Parkinson's people, that starts in their gut.
Okay.
And works its way up the vagus nerve, and people who get a who get their vagus nerve fully severed.
Whoa.
Which comes with its own issues.
Yeah.
It stops the Parkinson's from spreading to their brain and the rest of their...
But it dysregulates your entire system because you have a vagus nerve severed.
It's a compromise, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it make you live a few years longer.
Damn.
Woo, that's harsh.
Yeah. Wow.
Something about New Year, it's going to be looking good. Looking up. Yeah.
Looking
there you go.
Up.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Besides, Joe said on the last show that the last show was going to be Christmassy and like hopeful and all this stuff, and then the next one was not going to be like that. So I'm just going with what he said on the last show.
Yeah, there's no criteria for this one. I'm telling people 2024 is going to be fine.
Anyways, we
could tell them all about the horrors that are coming anyway.
Yeah. Moral of the story: get your deer checked. If your deer looks weird, if it's acting weird, shoot it and don't eat it. Just dispose of it. You know, get the DEC in on it and let them know.
You're doing the other deer a favor.
Yeah, pretty much. I've also seen a study where it can spread by urine. Yep.
Oh, fun. Great. So that's all over my garden.
Great.
All over my garden.
Anyhow.
Oh, my God.
What else you guys got?
I don't know.
Give me something good. That was just off the cuff. I don't even have an article for that stuff.
Well, I have to dig through the common communication protocols we have for stuff we've spoken about recently.
Stuff that we've spoken about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to go through Telegram and look through the links.
Telegram is a smattering of things.
A smattering of things.
15-year-old is the first person to beat Tetris.
Oh, yeah, I watched the video.
Why did
his
it take
so
long?
He couldn't feel his fingers afterwards.
How do you beat Tetris? That's like... Isn't it just go, like, really fast at the end?
You beat Tetris by making it crash.
Autism.
Talking about, like...
Autism.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. I mean...
Wow, how do you beat Tetris? Why do you think nobody beat it yet? They needed to evolve to beat Tetris. We did so. Congratulations, human race. You've beaten Tetris. Now, continue along that path.
So, the way that he beat it, quote-unquote, was making it crash. And the reason it crashes is... some values that they don't have, like, safe memory checks.
Okay.
For, like, I think, what was he playing on? Nintendo 64?
Oh, my God.
Was it?
It was an old platform.
Yeah, old Tetris.
Okay.
And it's funny, because as the game goes on, the colors change?
Yeah.
On the blocks? The blocks slowly become weird and distorted, and, like, the color scheme is, like, almost inscrutable by the end.
Oh.
Where it's, like, almost black on black.
Oh,
whoa.
Yeah. And you can't even see it coming down because the frames move so fast. But yeah, he made it crash, and that's considered beating it.
That I don't know if that counts, right? Don't you have there's no end to the game? There's no like final level.
I would consider that the end if you've played it until it literally can't play anymore.
Yeah, I get so yeah. Until the code can't run.
Yeah,
code stopped running.
The first person to reach level 30 had done so by learning a strumming technique on the NES controller.
This kid was on level 155, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this rolling style, which involves bouncing the controller up and down in the player's hand and strumming it sort of like a guitar. That got you to 30. So that's why they needed to crash the game to get, like, to actually beat it. And I'm sorry, if that's what it takes to beat it, then the kid beat the game.
Yeah.
People have trained bots... to
push buttons
to play and beat the game.
That's cheating.
And once you get to level 255, it just rolls around to level 1 and everything.
Well, that's
is the same.
To me, that's beating the game, taking it to the end.
Start over.
If a human could take it to 255, that would be crazy.
Yeah. That's demanding. You'd have to avoid all the different ways that the game can crash beforehand.
Yeah. Wow.
Which I'm sure are numerous since It's a game.
It's a game.
They didn't spend that much time like doing like memory safe operations and whatnot.
No, they just rolled it out. Next.
Oh yeah. Hey, moving on from that. Expect two-factor authentication to become
standard.
Not standard, but enforced
for
anything.
Everything.
Everything.
What if you don't have a phone?
Exactly. What if you don't have a phone? What do you do then?
What if you don't want people to know your phone number? What if you don't?
Or
want
email, because you get 2FA through email too.
Parties.
Well, I mean, if
YubiKey,
if all
oh yeah,
I have a key like that's really amazing. It doesn't It doesn't have USB or.
Fuck it! I knew it.
You knew it. Yeah.
It's like no.
Well,
Tom, tell us about your special ring.
No. This isn't my ring. This is something I got from RPI. It identifies me when I get on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. In order to get on their VPN, I have to identify myself. But it doesn't have Bluetooth. It doesn't have USB. It has a clock, and the clock generates half of the one-way trapdoor function, public and private key, based on the time that's being kept on the mainframe that I'm talking to, and on this tiny little counter.
Is it one of those?
It's a keychain, right? It's a little keychain with a tiny display on it.
Yeah, yep. Tiny display.
$200
It's got six
time-based one-time password.
That is a newbie key.
It's got six decimal digits. So,
but it has no USB.
It's good to a million.
USB things that you just shove into a device and rock and rolls. This is far more sophisticated, what Tom has.
Also, I've seen that being rolled out with a large company 20 years ago, and it failed. Yeah. And it failed so miserably. It cost so many million in lost work because people couldn't log into their email.
This is very successful, and the retail price was $25. So I imagine the thing is $5 when they actually mint it because the chip and the display, crappy display.
Yeah,
but hey, it worked to the point where I was able to log on to RPI's otherwise hacked computer. They lost their computer to, well, we don't know, but it looks like a ransomware attack.
Oh,
RPI
got hit by ransomware.
Yeah, and they wouldn't pay.
We didn't read about that.
Well,
you
guess who
heard
pays?
About that.
You know, the students pay. Everyone pays because they lost everything. They lost all my email. It's terrible. Years of email lost.
I don't know. Sometimes it's like you just bankrupt.
Yeah.
You just say like, all right, I'm done. Delete the whole stack of them, and we just start again.
Oh, geez.
Actually, they clawed their way back. I'm told
that's a lot
if
of.
If you were high enough in the feeding chain, you could look back past the ever. You know, but I wasn't. I'm a perpetual outsider. However, now, in order to log on, it's not two-factor authentication in the sense that you're talking about where you need a cell phone. They do use cell phones for it, and you don't have to pay the $25, but the little keychain thing is cute. But then there is the 3D ring. Yeah, the 3D ring is my thing.
So this thing from RPI, do you also have a password?
Yep.
Okay, so... It is two-factor.
Yep.
You have a time-based one-time password, which is your little. I assume it's RSA brand.
Why is that called
RSA
two-factor?
Brand.
Isn't it three-factor? You have to have a user identifier. Login. You need the login name, and then a password, and then you need a third
way
of contacting a person.
Fair enough.
So it's three-factor authentication because we can't handle two-factor. We can't handle name and a password, which I guess. You could always just string together into a single factor. Like, it'd always be one string, name, then password, if you really, really wanted to. And then the second factor is, like, you have to go outside of the system. Like, I want two-factor to require the U.S. Postal Service. Like, no. You want to verify something? We will send a letter to your physical address that's on record.
Oh.
That everybody has to have now since the Patriot Act.
Yeah, that also screwed me up because in order for the government... grants, they required that I have a physical address, but my driveway is over half a mile long, and nobody's going to come down the driveway with my mail. It's just too far. So we have a mailbox, but it's out there on another road.
It's a number that you can put into the system that they can go, yep, you exist, you are verified.
Yeah, but if they use Google to find it from that mailbox, they're just going to see
a mailbox standing in the middle of the woods.
Bridge.
It still counts just like that mailbox in Nevada that goes to that government base that's in the middle of a desert. It just sits there.
Well, that's me. I'm doing the secret research. My alien friends.
You got the aliens in the barn.
Yeah.
And just remember, do not be nomadic, do not be homeless, because then you do not count.
See, this is why, Tom's mad about Star Trek. He's hanging out with aliens out there.
He knows what's really...
No, the aliens...
He knows where they're getting it wrong.
I want aliens that are truly unexpected. You know, the failed Shakespearean actors who pretend to be aliens, and they got nostrils and mouths and eyes and...
Breasts. What about the silicon alien in
the... They're males and females.
In the tunnel, the silicon alien...
Yeah, well, at least you could do a silicon alien.
The one who
that would be a step in the right direction.
Her name is Chastity, and she's there on Thursday.
Oh, it's the one who felt pain. Remember the mind meld and pain? That one that was like a weird blob of something.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Remember that one?
Yeah. There's the crystals in the cave.
Yeah, you're talking original series Star Trek. And pain, endless pain, because
mind
meld with the
giant mind meld with the
blobby
rock.
Piece of what looks like bread pudding.
the bread pudding silicon thing. Yes.
Yes.
The silicon-based life form.
Silicon-based life forms, which will descend upon the Earth and let you know that you're listening to 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
What is the bottom of the hour?
I got it all in there. It's all in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Good timing.
Yes, and that's why Gort here doing your public service.
Mm. Well, the silicon-based life forms do not require oxygen. They can exist in a vacuum. They're designed for the interplanetary and interstellar and intergalactic travel. They don't get crushed by acceleration. They have all the benefits that are necessary.
These don't exist. We haven't found them yet.
Tom's found
No, keep going. I just wanted to point out that like we haven't discovered silicone life forms yet.
But they would be.
Not silicone. Or silicon.
Silicon.
Okay.
Silicon.
There's a bunch of sexist jokes there, too, that we can put.
Carbon, silicon, they're closely related. And, I mean,
they'd be very good.
The definition
ones.
Of life at one time for me was it reproduces itself. That was the definition that I saw. And certainly that doesn't exclude designing something that would reproduce itself in a silicon base. I don't see that that's necessarily a definition anymore.
You're talking
what is a life form?
No, because then you'd have to define like prions as life.
Exactly.
Prions, or are you talking like silicon chips and like technology evolving as its own life form?
Well, I would say silicon chips are an interesting metaphor for what it could be, but you might as well let your imagination rule a little bit better than Star Trek does, which is, you know, anthropomorphic to the point where, you know, they're having love affairs that they're aliens, you know. I know I crossbred between two alien species, you know.
I know. It's
ridiculous.
The chances of that are kind of insane. Yeah. But listen, if you watch Star Trek, they actually take care of that little part of the story.
They explain
every species in Star Trek has a single progenitor. Like they were all intentionally created.
The Iconians.
No species evolved on its own in the Star Trek universe. So everyone's artificial.
They explain to where that limitation deep into Next Generation. Like, okay, we can keep doing this.
Then the progeny of those progenitors came back, the Iconians, and then they massacred the last of them that were left hiding in deep sleep.
How about predetermination as a characteristic of the script? So that anything that happens is actually already happened in terms of its predictability.
That's Battlestar.
What?
One of the main tenets of Battlestar Galactica is this has all happened before and this will all happen again. Sorry.
Oh.
Well, it's not so much the repetition, but the dependencies. And there are people who truly think that there is no escape from the causality that we're all caught up in. You know, that anything that happens was predictably going to happen, and you can wrap back from that predicted event to the origin of all these points, and that I'm not making that up. That's a whole philosophy of science that you can go backwards in time. And now there's this thing where you can, in fact, say that certain quantum mechanical events do go backwards in time. That's the only way to explain them.
What do they call that again? Ontological determinism,
ooh,
something like that. In the philosophy of science, that is.
Yeah, basically removing all free will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and I mean, in complexity of our own consciousness, it doesn't seem at all likely. And I feel perfectly unpredictable myself. But you sitting over there recognize that it's, oh, him. Yeah, he's at it again. He's talking about Roger Penrose.
There he goes again. We knew this was coming.
Penrose postulates time goes backwards in the quantum state. Mm. And that does explain certain phenomena that are otherwise, what did Einstein call it? Spooky action at a distance.
At a distance,
yes.
Well, that's quantum entanglement. That does not involve time moving forward or backward. That's the instantaneous collapse of probabilities across any infinite distance. Yeah. What you're talking about is not anti-time, but like certain processes that not only I think are symmetrical going forward or backward through time, but are actually actively moving backwards counter to normal time.
Mm. No, I'm saying that Penrose is looking at the ambiguity between gravity and quantum mechanical world is defined by the parameter of time, which is an arrow in gravitational Einsteinian cosmology. So time can only go forward in what we see in the macro world. But in the quantum mechanical world, time can go backwards, and that does, in fact, normalize the equations. And now you can have quantum, not quantum gravity. It's the other way around. It's gravitation determining the result of a quantum mechanical event. And that's where the collapse occurs. So, yeah, I don't know. Then is it predetermined? You know, that's a really difficult and thorny question, because the sets of rules that are required to combine these two ways of describing the physical world, one that has a probability, which is the quantum mechanical world, and the other, which is predetermined, which is the Einstein model, that everything is connected to everything else in the series.
That predetermination is where he gets the spooky action at a distance, because that would mean, if it's deterministic, then quantum entanglement doesn't really occur.
Well, if Penrose and Einstein had a conversation,
but
Penrose would say, yeah, it is spooky. Time goes backwards in the quantum world. That is spooky, because we don't have a sense of time going backwards at all. That's a shame, because I certainly think I'd like to try. Oh, dear. It is 2024, and that is totally amazing to me, because I didn't think I'd get past 2001, or maybe 2020 on the outside, but 2024 is not in my anticipation. And but if I could go backwards and come to some of the forks in the road that I took, maybe I would find a different outcome.
But then you destroy this universe that we're in.
Yeah, I would.
No, here, just enter another one.
you create another one. Fork off.
That universe is just branch off at every probability. He's just introducing new probabilities. He's not harming his original timeline in any way.
Or is he not introducing it, but merely attuning his consciousness to the one that already exists? There you go. There's a little bit of Deepak Chopra.
No. No.
No.
Consciousness is a simple biological process happening chemically within your brain. It is not, I mean, sure, it could be connected to these other things, but there's no proof of it. There's just wacky ideas.
Yeah, well, it was consciousness that got Penrose started on this, and he looked at the human brain through the work of an anesthesiologist who said, you can be functioning perfectly well in almost every respect, except you can be unconscious if you have a little bit of this gas. Put on the mask. Okay, you're no longer conscious. But in many ways, you certainly are. So that is where this idea about time going backwards began to happen.
A bunch of laughing gas.
Yeah, laughing gas is one of several gases.
Yep. Tell you what. That's what starts it all, high, yeah. Some good drugs.
But if you get high enough, you're no longer conscious.
That takes us on to my little bit of, the absolute worst thing to do on Radio Land, but show and tell.
Show and tell? You're going to show us something?
I got a little thing here that, to anybody looking at it, looks like a little plastic container. It's short, and it's rectangular. And you
yes.
can hear it. It's plastic. It looks like plastic.
Looks
right?
like it. Sounds like it.
All right. Well, what this plastic container is made out of is hemp.
Ooh.
There's two ways to do it that I know of. You can make it with hemp cellulose, and then you can add regular plastics to it to get pretty much any type of plastic you want. But you can also use corn-based PLA if you want an entirely plant-derived plastic product that did not come out of the ground. It wasn't made out of oil. I think that's amazing.
So
because plastics are insanely necessary for like a million medical applications, not to mention cars, planes, trains.
Sad thing, that's not really new because like the post-war thing of making plastic out of oil was just to create a market out of nothing. But during World War II, if you carried a squad automatic BAR, chances are the forestock and the backstock was made out of hemp.
Really?
Yes.
Hemp-infused resins?
Looking like fiberglass, yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That stuff is tough.
Yeah, it's tough. And like I've seen one like 15 years ago that was from the original batches from the 40s, and it was still together.
Ben Franklin used to write about it. He's like, this is an amazing plant. We can make a lot of things out of it.
Yeah.
Just weird because
we did make a lot of things out of it.
A lot of plastics from that era, they're gone.
Yeah.
Because they just disintegrate.
Well, that's the thing. So, they're not gone. They've just broken down into a million little tiny pieces, and they're like all over the
environment. Gone. Functionally gone.
Correct. We no longer have access to that device.
Resins and bake
lights. After Effects are here, though.
Bake lights disintegrating. Other resins disintegrating.
Well, then there's the plastics that were designed to be photo-optically biodegradable. I don't know where those went. Those came out in the last couple decades where they're like, we need to get away from plastics or we need to stop filling landfills with it. And then they design one that degrades if it's left outside long enough. I don't know. I kind of want to know.
I mean, that's
what this turns into.
Most, if not all, plastics.
Will
degrade because of the sun.
Yeah, most of them you have to, I know like Cat 5s and all that other stuff, you have to make sure that it's UV rated if you put it outside.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you have anything that's just in the sun, it just makes it and it's all done.
Yeah, like that's why, what is it? The PVC electrical conduit, I think, has some UV resistant stuff added, right? The gray stuff instead of the white stuff.
Yeah.
That's usually for plumbing. But the electrical stuff has some UV resistant compound.
Looks like plastic. Nails like plastic. Saws like plastic. We call it wood.
You know, we have plastic wood now. It's called, what is it called? Engineered lumber?
Engineered
lumber. LVL lumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They build playgrounds out of that stuff.
Right, exactly.
So kids don't get splinters and stuff. And that's fine, especially if it's waste material. But you're talking like we're going to pull this oil out of the ground just to make that stuff. I'm a little more cool with making it out of something that grew.
We can probably make it out of things that already have been made.
Yes, we can recycle, but recycling is a stopgap measure. There's always more people to do.
I don't know about stopgap, but it reduces the amount of production.
Yes. I mean...
The amount of necessary production, I should say.
And it depends on what material. Plastics are not, like, super recyclable. Glass, recyclable. Very recyclable. Aluminum, super recyclable. Plastics... you got to do a lot of stuff to it. It's like paper. Mm-hmm. You don't want to recycle it. You kind of really want to destroy it, turn it into its baser elements, and then just start with something fresh in most cases.
You can do that. But if you're just, say, melting it down and trying to form it into a new product, you can get away with quite large fraction of recycled plastic.
Problem is most recycled plastics are contaminated. Like, you got to go through a decontamination process and sorting.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like the polywood and all that stuff.
No.
They just don't use it in food.
Yeah, you just don't use it for
construction, and then, all right, not a big deal.
Yeah, don't use it for things that cover food.
Fair enough. And I'm glad things are being used instead of just disposed of in a landfill. Right. But what's wrong with... Oh, kids, you know what? Maybe kids can get splinters. Maybe wood isn't terrible.
I don't know. Spoken as somebody who doesn't like splinters and didn't like them as a kid, I'm okay with not having them.
Fair enough. I guess
I've had some really bad infected ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's first aid.
You know,
like when you get a splinter, you're supposed to
you know that black stuff?
Clean it.
That like supposedly pulls it out of your skin. Remember that stuff?
Oh yeah, the
that salve.
Yes. My mom
drawing wrote, salve. Drawing it smells like oil or creosote or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's like just crude oil.
Is it? It smells like oil.
Yeah. I think Can you believe that they used to market that stuff as like miracle stuff?
Yeah,
it could be a miracle cure.
Yeah, it was on the snake brand.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Snake oil.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like everybody. The most recent version is the replacement for pseudoephedrine that went into all the cold medicine. Phenylalanine.
A different kind of phenyl thumping.
Whatever it is. Phenylalanine. That thing that they put into all the cough medicine to replace Sudafed.
Can't boil down into meth is what you're saying.
Correct. You can't boil down into meth, but also it's been clinically proven to do absolutely nothing to you. Everyone's been taking a placebo the entire time.
What?
Yep.
Interesting.
Whereas they could actually just find ephedra seeds, which is a species of plant, and grow the natural natural ephedrine.
Not pseudoephedrine from
the lab? Not pseudoephedrine that's been synthesized in a lab somewhere.
Wait, natural ephedrine? Now, how do we turn that into meth?
I don't know that you do.
Why? Why would you want to do that?
Why would you
sir?
Want to? We're talking about curing
you
your cold.
Have you seen Breaking Bad?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Neither have I, but I know there's a lot of money in it.
You haven't either?
Oh.
I watched the first season and got bored.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was cool because it was a chemistry teacher that started doing meth. Or no, started making meth.
Yeah, not doing
it. Started doing meth. He's like, I'm over it.
I hate everyone.
This is the only way to deal with the kids.
Nope.
I need energy.
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
We're rewriting it.
This is the reboot. Yeah. He doesn't make meth. He just...
He just does it.
Goes on a rampage, 48 episodes. It'd be great.
Do? Takes apart fridge, leaves it broken.
No. Fixes it 48 times in a row.
Yeah, that's it. Takes it apart. Puts it back together.
Takes it apart again.
Puts it together.
Yeah.
Took a nap. 3 days.
Worked on the fridge again. Rebuilt it 3 times.
I cannot escape this cycle. I need more meth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Teeth slowly fall out of his head.
Man, this is a genius writing room.
Compelling. Absolutely compelling television that you're coming up with here.
Real life meth.
Yeah.
Real life meth.
Actually depicting what it's like. Yep.
That would be like the ultimate horror show that you're watching. It's like, what's entertaining about this? It just... depressing.
It's just
he's taking it apart this again. Supposed,
this is supposed to be entertainment, but it's just a
great. Now he lost 3 screws.
You're just following somebody down their slow spiral into madness. Yep.
The next level of TV, folks.
I don't know. I've seen cable television. I've already seen these shows just following around meth addicts that are squeezing out babies.
They have
because
that?
Yeah, that's what
absolutely
people love to watch that crap.
Really?
And you always got this depressing music in the background. It's like Janine can't stop doing meth, even though 3-year-old Tanisha's looking at her crying every day. And like,
wow.
Did you ever watch that documentary?
So we're already
High
there.
On Crack Street.
Yeah.
What?
It's like from HBO, High on Crack Street.
No.
Like 3 crackheads in Lowell, Massachusetts. Absolutely just depressing. That's basically what you just described.
So this what we described is not the future of TV.
No, it's
our rear view mirror.
Yeah, this happened back late 80s.
Oh.
Nowhere to go but up, folks.
Now if you want that kind of content now, all you have to do is like look up Streets of Kensington Ave
on
YouTube or
in Fata Philly.
What's that?
Heroin nodding.
Mm. What's that? What's that one row in some Western state?
Skid Row.
No,
I was trying not to say that.
That's Los Angeles Spring Street in Sixth.
Well, if you want to
take videos
following
of
these
like
in-depth conversations, you're going to head on over to WGXE.org. Click on the listen button and the tab with Singularity Radio program at the bottom will pop up. You'll be able to keep on listening to us into the after show, which at the top of the hour rolls on over into non-FCC territory. Sorry, Cody. Please continue.
That's all right.
So something grow out west, so San Francisco or LA, probably.
Yeah, something like that. And they're just taking videos of all the girls walking the streets. Huh. And it's weird because they're doing it in broad daylight, too.
People?
Yeah. You know, no, like, that's how it...
Oh, all right. I guess that's where we're at now.
What? Not only is that happening, but they're just documenting it.
Yeah.
Wow.
My weather app just... buzzed my wrist. Like,
oh, we got a weather alert, Mr. Weatherman.
Yeah, weather's coming this weekend, right. People.
Did you get somebody to break up the typewriter?
Hey, kids, it's going to be snowman-making and snowball-making snow, so get ready for it.
What do you think? A couple inches? 6 foot?
Well, Joe said, here's what he said on the better weather, that...
Don't call me!
They're revising upwards for 6 inches, so take that for what you will.
Saturday, Sunday.
So they're expecting more than what they initially predicted.
Correct. But
which is interesting. It's saying something.
What I'm watching is periods of, say, a couple of hours will have a certain amount of snowfall expected, like a couple inches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching those hour blocks get a little more than an inch added to them a little bit. So over a whole day, you're looking at an extra like 5 or 6 inches, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But like over a short period of time, it's a small adjustment. So far, you're waking up to 6 inches of snow on the ground Sunday morning, everybody.
If you don't do anything about it,
you're not going to see nothing Saturday night. You're Saturday's going to be
through the night.
Saturday's clear.
Clear, and then at the very end of the day, before it gets dark, you might see a snowflake or two. But then after it gets dark, it's just going to start coming down.
Cool.
And nobody's going to notice it. They're just going to go to bed, and they're going to wake up and go, "It's a snow day." Except it's not a snow day because it's going to be Sunday. The weekend. Sorry, kids. I already said that.
Well, I feel good because I actually oiled a snowblower.
Ah.
And when I use it.
Ah.
Smart.
It'll be in good working order.
That's what I did at the beginning of the season, thus condemning us to a non-winter.
So, so it is. It isn't so wet that it clog up a snowball.
It should be wet because it's good. Yes. Snowblower.
It's going to be. It's going to be snowball making snow. It's going to be wet and
that
gooey.
Clogs up snowblower.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why I'm glad I oiled it because I have.
Oh, you actually oiled the chute?
Oh, I have not oiled the chute. Should I do that?
What I did this year was I painted my chute so it's got a smooth surface, and then I went and did what was probably stupid, but I went to Lowe's and I got the actual Arian's chute spray, and it's meant to keep the chutes smooth. It's probably just vegetable oil.
Yeah,
probably.
That's it. It's just something to keep the.
You go and get some of that spray on vegetable oil. It's probably really bad for you.
But I'm proud of my 1968 Arian's 2 snow thrower, so I'm like, I'll get the official
stuff.
Say
Arian? It's called Arian?
Arian's.
A-R-Y-A-N?
No, why.
No. Oh, okay.
No!
I heard Arian.
No, Zig Heil. No.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, I know. Of course, I know. I know you did.
Good that you oiled it because...
We did start the stream here with that one song.
World War One. It's a World War One song.
Exactly.
Repurposed for World War II.
It's good to look ahead, oil your snowblower because the oily boy gets the worm.
Excuse me?
Damn it, why?
The accent was so thick I couldn't even understand what you said.
Okay, snow's creeping a little further into Saturday.
Yeah.
Y'all going to see it at 1 o'clock.
Earlier?
Yeah. 1 p.m. Saturday?
And it's going to start in the afternoon. It's showing up a little bit. Like I love watching the numbers just change over time. We're still looking at...
6 inches.
7.
Oh, man.
We're now looking at 7 inches on the ground by the time you wake up, and then another 3 to 5 through the day.
Okay.
Okay, so what do these snowflakes look like under the microscope? Are they clumps, or do they have that crystalline... appearance.
This is good.
Hexagonal.
These are going to be clumpy.
They're not going to have that.
Yeah, they're clumpy. The temperature is going to literally change from 31 to 33 over a 24-hour period.
So that's the wet stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Pushing it out of the... Yeah, that's a pain.
Do you have a snowblower or do you shovel in this situation?
I have a front loader and a tractor, and I push it away.
Oh,
perfect. He's got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. You'll deal with that just fine.
My driveway, as I was saying earlier, is so long.
Right. If everybody
couldn't walk down it with a snowblower, unless the snowblower was part of the tractor. It
just takes a while.
If everybody can avoid actually, you know, shoveling, Monday it's going to melt because we're going to reach 38 degrees and it's going to be mostly sunny.
Oh. Really? We can wait it out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. I'll just be smoking that that hemp container that you brought.
Remember, they mix plastic.
Yes.
Oh man, could you? Okay, now I'm just thinking of all the denatured alcohol right now, and holy crap, all the people that are like, I bet we could smoke it. Let's try it.
Giving up on the banana peels.
God. Yeah, it's gonna rain. Wednesday, it's going to be 42 degrees.
What? Oh, gross. So it's gone by Wednesday.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, well, no.
My yard's going
to... Tuesday, it's going to snow a little, but then turn to rain and wash it away.
Wow. What a weird winter.
No. Lame. Remember, where we live now, it is more likely to rain any day through winter than it is snow. We are in a... We think we're in New York of the yesteryear. Mm. We're in the California of yesteryear, where they used to never get snow. Now we're them. Now we're basically what Pennsylvania and New Jersey used to get, which is...
the slush zone.
Yeah. And it sucks because I can't tell you what's going to fall. If the temperature is 32 degrees, it could be anything. But when the temperature's like 10 degrees out, I know what's coming out of the sky.
Yeah.
Snow. When the temperature's 40 degrees out, guess what's hitting the ground? Rain! But no. Past couple of years, it's 32 all the time. Good luck. Spin the wheel, raggedy man.
Could be water.
or we could drop water onto a frozen roadway and hello ice.
Ice storm, yeah.
It's
anybody has friends or family in North Carolina, tell them to take it easy this weekend. They're going to see icing.
It's Joe's wetter weather.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I was warning Rob in the one chat. I'm like,
you
guys are going to get icing, so get your supplies. I could be wrong, but that's the sort of thing that once it's there, you can't move anymore. You can't go for a ride. You can't go get supplies. You just got to sit it out.
I'm all for sitting it out.
Yeah. Remember a couple of years ago when New York iced over?
Yes, I was heading home.
Oh,
I was really? Heading home from Hudson to Catskill, and we got to the bridge by the Stewarts on the other side of the river.
Yep.
And the road was a complete sheet of ice because the DOT didn't see it coming because they don't listen to the weather and they didn't salt the roads. Anyway, traffic traveled 2 miles per hour.
Oh, my God.
All the way from Stewarts across that bridge.
Gravity fed.
Crawling.
Yeah. That's what it felt like. Just slow molasses.
Wow.
At least it was moving.
Yes, it was.
I just remember
with your front wheels.
I just remember how terrible it was to try to cut a path with a shovel through the ice.
What do you? How?
What?
I don't know. Like
you gotta get
the hammer, or you gotta get a blowtorch.
Basically, I mean, just hammering on it. It was insane.
It can happen again, folks, but not this year.
It was like a good half an inch thick of ice, too.
That's
in some places.
Yeah. That oh yeah, I remember all the damage it did to like the apple crops and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like ooh.
Snap. The sound of the branches coming down.
There were people that would pay helicopters to fly over their fields just to blow warm air onto the plants. Because we're right at that edge. That's all it took. Couple minutes left till the after show, folks. Go online or, you know, nobody's listening. Why do I care?
It was really late at night, and I asked a dude who was trying to clear a parking lot. I was like, I went up to him, and I was like, hey, man, I'm having a really hard time with this driveway. I'll give you $50 to come over here and try to scrape the front out. And he did it. He tried, and he, like, rammed the icy pile up at the front where the cars have to come in.
Yeah.
And just his plow buckled.
Whoa.
It just was like, what? I thought he broke it. But it was fine.
Spring loaded.
Yeah. Oh, he rammed it. I was like,
so
damn, man.
Like a couple of dudes with like sledgehammers to just knock it to.
That was a crazy year. It was a crazy year.
It wasn't 2024 where everything just melts.
Nope.
Salt works. Salt's your friend.
Salt for a pile of like 100 pounds of ice.
Well, that's about it for this show.
It'll work.
Eventually. Not when you have to get out in 3 hours.
See you next month.
Yeah, well, that getting out in 3 hours?
Yeah. Exactly. Gotta leave in 3 hours.
Well, maybe...